Next item on the agenda, proposal to amend 4BAC 2011-9010 pertaining to gillnet control date, limited entry and transfers to establish a gillnet vessel limit.
The commissioner will remember at the last commission meeting, you passed an amendment to Regulation 1190 that created a Class A resident, Class A non-resident, Class B gillnet permit. The Class A resident and non-resident allowed individuals to purchase up to 12,000 feet worth of gillnet license, whether it was 10, 1,200-foot gillnet licenses or 2,600 or some other combination. And the Class B, up to 6,000 feet. And that could be 5, 1,200s or 10, 600s or some other combination. During the same meeting, the issue of license stacking was discussed by the commission in relation to this new gillnet permit. And license stacking can be defined in two ways, and we laid this out in the evaluation, as either the presence of multiple license holders working gear in combination on a vessel to gain a competitive advantage in harvest capabilities, or harvesters possessing more than the allowed number of gear licenses on a vessel by acting as an agent for another harvester to maximize their individual competitive advantage. And this was of a concern. Commission requested staff to advertise this for this meeting and to establish language for a vessel limit pertaining to the gillnet permit. So what we've drafted up is what's up on the screen now and was included in your evaluation. This would add to Section 40 of Regulation 1190, subsections D and E. D describes a legal gillnet permit shall be in the possession of any gillnet permittee or his agent who is placing, setting, or fishing that permitted gillnet. And that's standard with agent. It shall also be unlawful, though, for more than one gillnet limited entry permittee aboard any vessel at any time to set, place, or fish any gillnets, except that it is legally licensed to only one gillnet permittee. So with this language, it's basically saying only one gillnet permittee per vessel can be out. Now, maybe you're working in combination with someone else, but you only get to work one person's rigs at that time, not both. And that was the direction that we received from the commission that we've drafted at this time. This was advertised for public hearing. We have received no comments, and that's all I have at this time.
Any questions, Mr. Grist? Thank you, Judge. This is a public hearing. Is anyone in the audience wishing to be heard on this matter? If not, the matter is before the commission. Mr. Bowden?
I have heard public comments. I'm really surprised you have had it. I'm a Whitley. I said this committed. He came up with a legitimate problem, and he did discuss it, I think, with Jack Bowden's did. The problem he has is when they're up river, they may be two or three people on one boat now, but they don't exceed the amount of net they're allowed to have, because somebody might have 200-300-foot nets or something. And was there a way to address it? I said, I'm sure it is, but I don't know what it is. But there's usually a solution for every problem. I think he's got a legitimate concern. Did he talk to you, Mr. Travis?
Bobby Wiggins.
Yes, Bobby Wiggins. And I feel like he does have a legitimate concern, because it's not really circumventing the intent. It would still be under the amount allowed to the vessel. My only concern is law enforcement problems. I mean, you know, if you limit them to 12,000 foot to the vessel, and you have one permittee, that's not hard to do. But when you have more than one permittee on there, I guess you'd have to add everybody's up. So, but it should be a way to address that. I told them maybe we could do a boundary line or something, but it's something that we probably won't need to discuss. It's not something that has to be done today. But I do believe he has a legitimate concern. And there probably is a way to address it. But I just, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time to figure it out. Do you concur with that, Mr. Travis?
I kind of like the conversation with Mr. Whitley. About his problem.
Bob told you the same thing. He told me, I'm sure, yes, that it may be two of them on a vessel and their permits, but at no time do they have 12,000 feet of net between them. Right. And his concern was if they're fishing his net and someone else's, say they're adjacent, they would be in violation of the law.
That's right.
They would be in violation of the intent of the law, I guess. But, you know,
the hard part would be
in violation of the intent. It would be just the opposite. They technically would be in violation, but that wasn't our intention to keep two people that were legitimately fishing less than they were allowed to have. We're working together, but I don't know how to address it. But that's one reason we got Joe Griswick made from the city. He's an idea man.
Well, and the language, you know, that's before you doesn't solve the problem. But, you know, it was, it would make him in violation. And what he's after is simply economic sense of, you know, two guys fishing on the same boat or three guys, save fuel and everything else. And probably never exceed a single permittee's limit on gill net. The problem is in how do you enforce that? Now the officer has to go up and down the river trying to figure out how many nets they have overboard, and you know, one might be 5 miles in that direction and another 3 miles in that direction. So,
I do think it's something that you could look at.
Well, let's do that.
Yeah, I mean, we can punt on this thing today and come back and...
I think it's fine. We need it. But, you know, we can add something after we discuss within this. If there's some merit, we can figure out a way actually to do it. We can come back at that time and ask for an amendment on it.
Okay. Yes, sir. Do you have a comment?
I do.
Could you come forward, please? We have to get it on record. I need to know your name and all that kind of good stuff. Don't want to waste words of wisdom on identification.
Wesley Robbins.
Oh, Wesley.
Gloucester, Virginia. I wasn't very aware of any of these regulations actually until I got the letter in the mail to my house. Seems like it's a big gap sometimes from what happens here in New Canoes and where we live in our different communities. But anyway, I'm a little worried about this. I'll be qualifying for a license, and I currently have other licensed watermen working with me on my vessel. And we do that in almost every fishery that I participate in, crabbing, oystering. We all work on the same vessel, and it's true to save some of the expense. The expense is great that faces us today, and I just wanted to be explained to why you wouldn't be allowing two sets of licenses to work at the boat at the same time, like you do in the crab pot fishery or in the oyster fishery. I mean, I understand the challenges of how many nets do they have overboard, but you face that in a crab pot fishery too. If you have a set of crab pots at one location and 15 miles up the bay, you have another set. I mean, it's hard to regulate, but I don't think the people that want to do it honestly and buy the licenses in accordance to what the rules are, you know, they're getting sort of punished for the people that are trying just to get away with something.
Isn't that the way it always is, unfortunately?
But
Joe, did you want to address that?
Yeah, again, the only reason this even came up was through a commission discussion. It had to do with worries about those gaining competitive advantages. One of the things that the gillnet permit system did was basically put a cap on gillnetting at that 12,000 foot limit. And that was out of some concern. Was that had to do with some of the big rigs that were starting to move in without out-of-state licenses? So as this got passed, the discussion was, well, that still doesn't stop anyone from four or five guys getting together and rigging out on a boat or agenting and being able to just combine those licenses. So effectively, you haven't done what you thought you've done. And that's where the discussion led last month. Good. Has a good point. I mean, there are boys at work. It is an economic issue also with some of them to work together. There's some convenience to that also. So there are definitely two sides of the story.
Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think
thank you, sir.
I think what the point Joe's made is that in the last discussion we had, we constrained gill netting with the Class A limit, and then Class B was afforded a lower limit of nets. And so potentially stacking by just having a second helper on the boat, for example, that was also given an open Class B license could be a workaround to the limited access that was contemplated by the Class A. So, you know, it does appear to be necessary to take some sort of step. I mean, I'm not at all opposed to having FinFish review some potential exemptions if those are necessary, but if we don't do this, then we really haven't put in effect an effective limitation on gill netting, I don't think.
Well, Chair, we'll entertain a motion. Mr. Robbins.
Chairman, I would move a staff recommendation and also include a tasking to the Finfish Committee to consider developing some exemptions to address the concerns that were raised here today.
Second to the motion. Second by Mr. Lane. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Yes. Motion carries. Yes, sir.
Right. Mr. Robbins, was that your last name?
Sir.
The Finfish meeting is open to everyone, and I chair it, and so does Mr. Lane. And if you want to come, we'd be more than welcome to hear anything you have to say. It's on the BMRC website, or you can contact anybody in staff, and they can tell you the next date.
Based on your comments today, I think it'd be good for you to be there. You'd be an asset. Thank you.